hello, sir. How the hell are you?
Good. Is this a bonus episode because we said it wasn't happening?
Well, we said it wasn't happening because I figured you had a life, and then you're like, I don't have a life.
No, I got parents who look after my kids for me sometimes.
Yeah, but what about your wife? Don't you have a wife that's like waiting at home for you?
She works till 5, and then right now, since we're recording,
your parents have your kids. Could you not be having sex right now?
We have plenty of that. We just got back from a thingamabob that you do once a year when you get after you get married.
Anniversary?
That's the word.
It's like, what?
Yeah, 2 days. I said 2 weeks
ago.
Actually,
do you know what is fun? And I'm going to like air, not your dirty laundry, but like, I'm not going to give away any details because, you know, although I'm not like Pete, although I don't think that the government is, has my phone bugged, I will.
They don't need to have your phone bugged. Google gives them everything
right,
they want.
Yeah. I will protect some details, but this was a fun, like, part of the whole we talked about in our movie news episode this week. I've moved back. I'm home.
Yay!
I'm home.
We can see each other.
And something that's fun, and I mean, it's still like, well, I would have to finagle work around it. But this past summer? I think it was this past summer. Your summers are crazy, right? Because you disappear you disappear off. Your family, side of the family has a vacation place that you go to up north.
Like a cabin.
You do all the fun things.
Yeah.
But your wife's family also up north has a getaway spot.
Yeah. Yeah. My family rents 1 week during the summer, but her family owns the property. So it's like, as much as we can, we go.
Yeah. And so this past summer, you, like, I don't know, with a week's notice, said, do you guys want to come? Like, we're going for
like
a week or whatever.
Somebody had canceled on us.
Yeah. You're like, do you want to come? And, I see. Someone had canceled on you.
Yeah. We had to.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew I was the backup.
What's wrong with being the backup?
Oh, that's okay. It's interesting. It's fine. I just don't think I knew.
You think I planned my life out 1 week in advance?
That I wasn't your first pick. But we had to cancel we had to decline.
Yeah.
Because we were like, it's like a week's, you know, and we live a ways away and work and, you know, whatever else. But, and then Brianne, my girlfriend, has been with your wife up to this place before.
Yeah.
I have not ever.
Really?
Really. Uh-huh. I've never been. Not only have I never been to this vacation property, I've never been to the location that this vacation property is. I've never been there. Ever.
Really?
Really. And so, anyway, so we were talking the other day. We're like, you know, just realizing all the things that are now potentials and possibilities now that we're in town. And we're like, oh, cool. We can go
spend a weekend.
Yeah, we can vacation on someone else's dime. That sounds great. All right. Sick. Yeah. So we're excited. Hello and welcome to the Movie Man Podcast.
We are the B Team.
My name is Brady.
And I am Carl.
And we are pushing on.
Yeah, we're getting through it.
It's pressing on, isn't it? In the song. Pressing on.
I don't know.
Is that Reliant K?
I don't know.
Is it Christian rock?
You caught me on the spot. I have no idea what song you're even singing.
You're like the king of Christian rock.
But I'm not good at like, over COVID, you came up with that song, like you play a clip of a song and then everyone else had to guess what it was, but it was just like a 30-second clip of the song.
It was such a great game.
I sucked at that.
Pressing on.
Emily Mader was the, killed it though. Go ask Emily Mader.
Emily has, it's
she's got an ear for that kind of thing.
There's been a couple of times that I've been asked to revitalize that game. And I think it'd be really fun to do it like we could do it much better now with like buzzers and all kinds of stuff in person.
What do they call them?
Sorry, for the listener, this was a game that we did in the early stages of COVID when everything was locked down. You couldn't get around to see people, you know, any of that stuff. There was no groups. There was no try to social distance. There was just stay the hell home.
Yeah.
And so I had a game that I played with a bunch of people over Zoom. And then I was actually, like, people found out about this game that I had done it with you guys, and like a week later, I was brought in to do it for a group of people who I had never met. I didn't know these people. And so I would just, it basically what it was is I had this whole system rigged up with screen and audio sharing and whatever, PowerPoints galore, where I would play 10 seconds of an iconic movie theme, and then people had to like buzz in and try to get it. And it was just like a movie theme trivia thing. It was fun.
It was, Emily and I went to a, my Emily, not Emily Mater.
Yeah.
went to a trivia night.
Were you trying to wreck my computer core?
I don't know. I'm here? Fidgeting. Yeah, give me a fidget toy. We went to a trivia night in one of the neighboring towns.
Yeah.
About 3 or 4 months ago.
And that Joe's was, Cabin? Is that where it was? In Walkerton?
No.
No.
And it was like a three-stage format. And the first stage was that game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then the second stage was like books. And then the third stage was something else.
So they stole it.
Yeah, sure.
And I could sue.
Sure. Did you copyright? Tough luck.
Maybe I did. All right, we're pressing on with Echo. The show that I have had faith in up until this point. So far, I've had faith in it.
Sure.
Yeah. Carl has
disliked it.
Less faith.
And disliked it and not interested.
So let's kick off season one, episode three, Tuklo. Tuklo?
Tuco?
T-U-K-L-O.
Tuklo. Tuklo.
The episode, I will admit, despite everything I'm about to say moving forward, this episode starts out super cool. It starts out like an old silent film Western.
I enjoyed this part of the film.
Right?
Yeah.
It's fun. And it's talking about an ancient tribal police called the Light Horsemen, who were the law. They were the authority, the gunmen that would go around and keep everything in check.
I paused it and looked at it. I don't think this was a real thing.
I don't think so.
There was something
they called... They made it feel good, like it was.
There is something called Light Horsemen, and it was like a cavalry type thing for the U.S. military back then. I don't know if it was the U.S. military back then. But I think, like... But it wasn't like Native American run and
the land. Colonies or whatever the hell
it was. It was run by the state.
And the one Light Horseman has a daughter, and the daughter is kind of like the Mulan story in a lot of ways, right? Like, the daughter wants to be a Light Horseman. Yeah. He trains her in gunmanship and combat and whatever, just as like a father doing a fun thing with his daughter.
Yeah.
And then she's like... Just
teaching her to protect herself.
Dad, I think I'm ready. I want to be a Light Horseman. And he's like, no, only, you know, men are...
Yeah.
Warriors, and women are lovers or life givers. Men are life takers and women are life givers. Yeah. And she's got this really great line, which is, well, I don't want to give life unless I can protect it.
Yeah.
Right. And this is a great line.
It's a good line.
It's a great line. And so we see all this. And of course the Light Horsemen then sometime later get themselves into a bit of a pickle, a bit of a gunfight with the European, North American colonizers, and this girl shows up and saves the day.
They are, but they get ambushed by some ruffians, a trap.
Yeah, it's a trap.
And
this girl shows up and completely saves the day. And it's all black and white, and it's a lot of fun. And at one point, it's in like 4:3 ratio, and then it switches to 16:9. But yeah, it's so you liked that?
It was kind of cool. Yeah.
All right.
I just liked like the black and white silent picture. I thought it was a fun take. To tell a backstory.
So then we get our title card, And we then come out of the title card and we get a little bit of an update, a little bit of a confirmation on some things that we had sort of already deduced about Grandma and Grandpa.
Yeah.
They don't seem to be together anymore. What we had thought, and this has now been confirmed for us.
I don't know if it's this scene or later on, though, but we might as well get into it now since we were debating about it at the end of last episode, that the guy who runs the bowling alley is Uncle.
Yes.
Brother of her dad.
Yes.
So she definitely knows he's connected to Kingpin. She definitely knows what's going on there.
I will now concede that. I think that we now have confirmation of that. I don't think we did before. And I know you disagree, and we don't need to
fight that horse again. No. I still think there was. You still didn't think there was. That's fair.
But I now concede that it is reasonable, although there still hasn't been the hit you over the head with it dialogue to confirm that. I think it is now pretty.
The only way we would have been is if we missed a very quick dialogue where she shows up at the bowling alley and says, "Hey, Uncle," and we missed that somehow.
Right, which I don't think ever happened, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
So Grandma's showing up and she's talking to Grandpa, saying, "Hey, Maya's in town," and
Grandpa's trying to get some.
Yeah, Grandpa's like, "Oh, come on," you know, like,
"You used to like when I hit on you like this."
It seems like maybe Grandma left Grandpa.
Yeah,
it seems like
they're still cordial and
in sort of this fun bickering kind of way.
Yeah.
Right, this flirtatious bickering kind of way. I kind of hope this series ends with them, I don't know, hooking up, right? Like, I don't know, kind of like finding a reason to come together and get past their differences But I mean, if they don't, they don't. That's life. But she kind of says like, "Maya's in town," and blah, blah, blah. And then Grandpa kind of lets it slip just through. He's very passive throughout this entire conversation, but he kind of lets it slip that, like, "I know."
Yeah.
Like, you know,
I've
seen her. Yeah, she's been here.
I helped her out.
Yeah, and Grandma's like, "Oh, really?" Right? Okay, then. Fine. You know?
That's how it's going to be.
And he's encouraging her. Like, really, the heart of this scene is that he is encouraging her to connect with Maya, to reach out, to talk to her.
Yeah.
Right?
She wants nothing to do with her. She's written her off, it seems
She says, "I've got nothing to say to her." And what I'm taking from this is, you know, at the end of the day, it's her granddaughter. And I think that she cares. And I think that she would love to connect with her. But I think she worries about her. I think that she will always love her. But I think that it's that awkward, too much time has passed, right? And we've been estranged for 20 years or however long it's been. And so I wouldn't know what to say to her is, I think, what she means versus I don't have anything to say to her.
Yeah, I was kind of torn in this scene about what the estrangement was. Was it her mother's death or was it her father's death? Was the grandma expecting her to come upset because she never came back after her father died? Like, I'm a little misunderstanding where all this animosity is really seated in.
I think
in this, I didn't feel like it. They're touching on it, but they don't make it clear. It seems convoluted.
I mean, I think it's probably one of those, like, you know, because there's hurt there, right?
Yeah,
her daughter has died, and she holds. And so there's a source of pain there. Yeah,
Maya's mom died.
Maya's mom died. And Maya's grandmother holds Maya's dad responsible.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a little bit of, when I look at Maya, I see her mother, which is a source of pain. And I see her father, which is a source of anger. And so I think for the grandmother, it's just difficult. I think Maya is just a reminder of things that are painful to remember, too painful to think about.
Right. Yes. But that doesn't really, this is kind of like what we were arguing about the end of last, like, it's never really stated what the animosity is here.
No.
Right.
No, that's just what I'm drawing from.
What's you're inferring?
That's my interpretation,
right? Which, for me, inferring it, it's like I don't see that. I can understand how someone would infer that. It seems petty, and that this woman wouldn't be the case. It just seems like it feels like they're trying to build tension there. But they're not doing a great job,
right,
for me.
So then we see Zane, who is the white trash kid that works at the bowling alley.
Yeah. He's moving up. He's got plans to move up.
Just
big league by bringing in Echo.
Just the definition of a loser.
Yeah.
This guy. Like, really.
White trash is great.
He's got nothing going for him.
Yeah. As we find out later, his family and friends are also white trash.
And yes, and as was sort of alluded to in the first episode when Maya shows up at the bowling alley, and he gets on the phone and says, hey, is there, like, I think the Maya is still open. Yeah, it seems like there's a bounty out. It's pretty clear that there's a bounty out for Maya. And the Zane guy thinks
he can cash.
He's going to collect on that. And so he makes the phone call. And we see Maya hanging out by the lake. She's having some more visions.
Is that her house? Is that the house she's been crashing at? I don't remember seeing
a lake
from any of the shots we've seen previously of the house.
Could be.
I mean, it still could have a lake, a little pond in the backyard,
but
it just didn't seem like it. Anyway.
She gets snagged.
What do you call it?
Chloroformed.
She gets chloroformed.
And wakes up hanging upside down from the center of the roller rink.
Yeah.
And then the rest of this episode
The hanging upside down scene. What is that? Like, neither these three individuals really are stupid white trash, or they don't know how leg prosthesis work, or this whole scene is just some BS thing to show how lucky Echo is.
I think they're just white trash that are in over their heads and don't know how to actually, you know, there's that sort of that cliche of the kid, young adult, late teen, that is wanting to be a part of the crime world.
This sounds like a good idea. Let's do it this way.
Yeah, I'm just going to be a quick payday for us, man, and then we can buy more weed.
Oh, shoot, that didn't work. Let's just tie her up in your back.
The rest of this episode...
It just seemed like a really stupid scene
The rest of this episode can kind of almost be roughly summed up by there's a hostage situation at the roller rink, and then they escape.
And they fight.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, so there's a couple, we won't go through it piece by piece here, but there's a couple of interesting things that happen, a couple of important things that do happen in this episode. There are some cool moments with her and her uncle, right? The really cool moment, and I'm going to call it almost a Batman moment, is when her uncle, who is, you know, and this just kind of shows the lack of loyalty that there is in the criminal world, is now also held at gunpoint by some of Kingpin's men, right? Yeah. Like, it's just kind of like...
Well, he showed up when... Was he there? No, he showed up and they held him at gunpoint.
Yeah.
But he's going to hold him because he thinks he's in on it.
Well, yeah.
And he showed up and he's figuring out what's happening. And
there's a great moment where Maya, once Maya's loose and causing havoc, almost in like a Batman lurking in the shadows, freaking out almost like a Batman Arkham series where you're like upping people's heart rate type thing. And you see the uncle kind of like realize what's going on.
In the laser tag.
Yeah, realize what's going on. Realize the people who are holding him captive are screwed. And and he kind of does like a fun smirk. Like, is it, so that was a fun moment to me. The big thing is Maya's reconnected with Bonnie in this episode. Mm-hmm. Bonnie and Maya end up being held captive together. And there's a lot of Bonnie's sort of canter in this whole situation is, what the hell, Maya? Like, you're in town. You didn't call me.
You don't call. You don't write.
Yeah, you didn't reach out. You didn't, like, what the hell? And Maya is pretty dismissive of all of those comments, but I think it's pretty clear that she's dismissive in a way that is, Maya doesn't know how to address any of that, right? Like, she's,
I think she just doesn't give a crap.
You think she doesn't give a crap?
Like I said before, she doesn't care. She doesn't care. She doesn't give a crap.
I think she cares. I think, like,
if she cares, it's to the point that, you know, she doesn't want to involve her because she knows it's dirty business. Like, because she's an ambulance, first aid, maybe fire department.
Right.
I think it looked like first aid from
the shots. I think she's EMS. Yeah.
But, like, even still, like, you're not calling, you're not writing. That you could do those things without involving. She doesn't care. Yeah. She doesn't give a damn. Here's my take on Echo.
Okay.
Echo, they're writing Echo to be this used, outdated Trump or trope of an edgelord. You know, you're familiar with the term edgelord?
Yeah.
Echo's an edgelord and a bad one.
Bring the listener into the loop, though.
So for those that don't know, an edgelord is somebody who's, it was kind of like a late 90s thing where up until that point, superhero comics and cartoon superheroes and even video game characters were very bright, colorful, kind of charismatic, and sometimes fun or goofy. But then
Frank Miller entered the scene.
Frank Miller entered the scene, and so did Todd McFarlane.
Yeah,
and edgy became the new thing.
Yeah,
black leather, dark, gritty guns. Anything that made a person seem edgy or dark and mysterious.
It's basically responsible for the reason that the X-Men look the way they do in Bryan Singer's X-Men.
Yeah.
That they were all in black.
They're pretty much edgelord X-Men.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And for those that know Sonic, we've talked about Sonic. Shadow the Hedgehog is essentially edgelord Sonic, right? And yeah, Echo is just a really bad edgelord character, in my opinion. And you can, like, you'd be really hard pressed to debate that she's not.
Right.
She wears leathers. She's.
There were some positive things that came out of that.
Yeah. Right.
Like, that wasn't enough. Like, that made Batman cooler than Batman's ever been.
Yes.
Right. So 89 there are parts, Batman.
There are parts of kind of the edgelord stereotype in character building, building up a character, fleshing out a character that are cool. But the downside is they're shallow, usually. There's not a lot of meat on the bones. They're pretty shallow in terms of their motives and how they do things or whatever. And after a while, they just become uninteresting.
See, and that's, yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that I, like, because I've kind of gone through that edgelord, like, growing up in the through the early 90s with a bright and colorful, and then right around that sort of preteen age, the edgelord thing really started hitting the scene. It's like, oh yeah, that's cool. But then I kind of grew up through that phase, like when who edgelordism was kind of directed at.
Yeah.
It was like that perfect preteen age. But then, like, when you become a teenager, you want things that are a little more sophisticated, and well, that edgelord stuff is not, doesn't fit the bill anymore. So because I've kind of gone through that cycle, anytime something comes out that's like, this is just edgelord, I'm just like, I've been there. I'm not buying it. So I think that's one of the reasons I'm not buying this whole Echo show. is that it's like she's got shallow, she's that uninteresting character.
And I mean, I think we'll have to ultimately we'll just have to wait and see how this shapes out, because my interpretation of it, I mean, you could very well be right. My interpretation of her character is one that I think I suspect is much more layered, right? I think that it was just, you know, like she was taken away to New York with her dad, and then sometimes life just happens and you don't interact with the people who matter to you in the way that you
story.
Yeah, and
typical edge
and whatever. But either way, I think there's more there to it. I think that
they haven't got there yet. Because there's more there, that it's yet to be seen, even at the end.
Because there was that promise from Maya. She's like, "I will contact you soon. I will be in touch soon. Right? I promise you, Bonnie. I'll reach out. I'll connect with you soon. I promise. Right? Mm-hmm. I will contact you soon." And I think that if she was straight up didn't give a shit, she wouldn't even try to.
Okay, I'll concede her. The point a little bit. On that.
So I think there may be more under the surface. I still think
she doesn't care, okay. But I'll concede it a little bit. I'll give you a little ground.
So that all these things happen, and it's just a lot of like, here's the thing. Look, although this is it's kind of a one beat episode, which is just
right.
That they're held captive in this place and then they got to get out of it, right? There's not a whole lot else that happens.
Can we hang on?
And the fact that Maya somehow MacGyvers together a weapon, a gun.
This bothered me so much. Yeah, I was like, what? With a drill? What?
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. Nobody MacGyvers a gun like that.
I will 100% concede to you that was straight up bullshit.
Even if you could MacGyver a gun out of a drill and roller skate bits and bobs.
Bearings and
yeah. Whatnot. There is no way that drill is putting out the RPMs, the revolutions per minute, to slingshot whatever it is she's shooting fast enough to knock people down.
I mean,
drills don't have high... There's torque and there's two terms when it comes to like talking about drills and things like this. There's torque, even cars and things. There's torque and there's
a wireless drill operates around 2000 RPM. Maybe.
Well, maybe.
Maybe. Right, you fire a ball bearing or something at 2,000 RPM. That's fast, man.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like torque versus power. Like, I don't know what the difference really is.
Because think about it.
Torque measures turning force. Power measures how fast.
Because think about it. Even when you're... If you're using like an impact driver to put some screws in, right? Quite often, you don't have that trigger squeezed all the way.
Yeah. I don't know. I get 2,000 RPMs.
That's fast.
That's pretty fast.
Yeah.
Paintballs fly at usually 150 there for 180? 150? Around 150 to 180 for field regulations.
Yeah. So.
But getting hit by a paintball, even if it was a solid object.
Yeah, but this isn't much faster.
2,000 is not much faster than that.
Than 150?
Yeah, 180. Flag raiders, where we've gone before, I'm pretty sure their field regs are 180.
But that's 10 times the speed. 180 to 2,000.
That's only 200 more.
The difference between... Oh, okay. That's not what you said. 1,800?
I suck with numbers. Shut up.
What are we saying? 1,800 or 180? Because those are entirely different things.
You're talking feet per second.
Feet per second
is different than RPMs. That I guess it would depend. This is some serious mathy stuff. We're getting down a rabbit hole here. This is a fun little rabbit hole, though. This is what people listen to our podcast for: physics and math.
I'm wondering if there is anyone who, like, I'm wondering if that's just Googleable. What are the feet per second of a cordless drill?
It would be like FPS to RPM.
Well, but you got to be careful because FPS, like in my world, FPS is frames per second. That's feet, a video f- thing.
Feet per second. We're talking feet
no,
per second.
No, I know.
We've already established that.
I know, but I think FPS, if you just Google FPS, the first thing that'll come up is frames per second.
But like, I think there. Yeah. And then there's like, in terms of like the math and physics of it, which I never took physics in high school, but I understand physics. There's a lot of other friction and rotation, and you know, like just because the drill rotates that fast, because the drill is rotating that fast, doesn't equate that you're going to get the same velocity. You know what I mean? Like even if it's 1-to-1, if feet per sec, this is all hypothetical and somebody who knows math is going to rip this apart. But even if they were like 1-to-1 because of friction, you're going to lose something as gears turn and thing moves. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. You understand? Yeah. No. And I mean, again, to be clear, like I said,
either way, we both agree this homemade MacGyver gun is BS and is absolutely ridiculous. And I'm pretty confident it would not knock a fully grown tough guy who works for the mob flat on their back if they got hit with something in the head.
I don't know, a ball bearing hitting you, even if a paintball gun shot a ball bearing in your head, that would really, really suck.
It would
hurt,
but I don't think it would knock you off your feet.
No, but if it... No, well, I mean, but neither do any of the gunshots from the... Neither does any gunshot ever unless you're being shot with like an elephant round.
Yeah, but Hollywood. They do.
No, I know, but that's Hollywood, right? You get shot with something and you fly back through the plate glass window Hollywood.
But what I'm saying is
But like, I agree with you.
The way that people are being hit by this homemade gun... It has the same stopping power as an actual handgun without killing them?
Oh, yeah. No, it's BS. I agree. 100% it's BS. No, I agree entirely. Anyway. So that all happens. The other really...
Also, they give her back her
prosthetic.
Why? You have her captured. Why does she need that? Keep it.
I will say
it
that
will keep her from escaping.
The moment,
why does she need this?
Zane's demise in this episode, when Zane tries to, you know, play hardball with these guys, we do get a glimpse of what exactly it is that makes this show right? We get a glimpse of why this show is considered to be a little more aggressive than what we kind of figured we might get when Zane goes running. I don't know if I'll be able to scrubbing. Oh, right here. When Shane gets shot and starts scene? Like spurting blood out of his mouth all over his face and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We get a good little, yeah, Zane
coughing up blood while his head's upside down.
Zane effed up, man.
Yeah, he was dead the minute he called them. Let's be honest.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They were never going to pay.
Nice little bit of blood. So here's the thing: Maya gets out of this whole ordeal.
It was a big fight scene. Let's talk about the fight scene.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
Really sick. I mean,
you enjoyed it.
Choreography-wise, I would say a lot of the stuff that goes on in this episode in the fight choreography is close to, if not on par with, the Daredevil series.
I would disagree.
Okay. Oh, you're wrong. Get out of my house.
I will say the choreography and the fighting is good. I would say it's not up to par with kind of what current standards of what a action fight scene would be in kind of today's cinema. In today's cinema, an action scene.
Again, this is a show.
This is a show.
For a show.
For, even for a show. I'm like comparing it to like Daredevil and current action flick cinema. The heroes never come out unscathed. She does. She takes a few hits. Right. She takes a few hits, but hardly any.
Right.
Daredevil, in the Daredevil series, there isn't a fight he doesn't walk away with if he doesn't have a bloody lip, a broken nose.
She got a bloody lip right there. She got a bloody lip, and her cheeks all bruised up. Ah. She looks like shit, man.
Okay, I'll concede it a little bit.
She looks like hell.
I don't know. See
that. She looks like hell. She got her ass handed to her.
It didn't feel like it.
Okay.
Watching it, it didn't feel all like right. it.
She got her ass handed to her.
Like you take the one take fight scene in the hallway from season one of Daredevil where he's going to save the little boy.
Yeah.
And he gets his butt handed to him he looks tired. He looks exhausted. I didn't get the weight of, but it's the same. How is this?
Because
she's starkly outnumbered, same as that scene.
Because the reason it's slightly different is because the Daredevil fight scene in that hallway is in the Hall of Fame of the greatest fight scenes in ever captured on screen.
So
you're comparing to, like, you know, that'd be like going out and seeing some sci-fi movie tomorrow and being like, well, it's not Star Wars. And you're like, okay, I get that.
From the same studio.
No, different studio.
Well, I guess different studio.
Different studio. Yeah.
But, I mean, we had Daredevil in this show.
Sure.
Right?
We had Luke Skywalker in the holiday special. What's your point?
You can't say I can't compare the two.
No, I'm not saying you can't compare the two. You've already
linked the two. Like, if Daredevil takes a huge beating against being starkly outnumbered, how is she not?
I mean, she took a beating, but
she's got a bloody lip. I'll give you that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. She did. She got hit a couple times in her shows.
Yeah.
But she did not take the same beating as Daredevil, and she did not look like she was tired and exhausted and drained at the end of the fight.
I don't. What are you talking about? She's missing a leg. What are you?
You see my point.
Yes? I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was good. It could have been so much more. I hesitate to throw the word out. But I think just a little bit in this scene, they kind of Mary Sued her. They made her untouchable. Like, the other thing about the Daredevil scene, right? We're talking about narrow hallway, four to six rooms that he's fighting in between. There's not a lot of opportunity for these guys to use anything but fists and melee weapons. We're talking about a big open area, and it is what undoes her at the end of the film, or at the end of the fight, is that you know, she's got a gun pointed at her from a distance.
Yeah,
that should have happened so much sooner. So much sooner. Like,
yeah, no. I agree. It's, listen,
I have some issues.
It's
with
a problematic episode.
Yeah,
it's the weakest of the three episodes so far.
I'm very hesitant to throw out the Mary Sue thing because I don't feel it quite fits the mold.
Right.
But yeah, she came out relatively unscathed from something she should have been exhausted and even more bloodied from.
So they get out, and Bonnie and Maya have a
heart-to-heart
communique, and Maya tells Bonnie to get the hell out of there. Lilo, you know, you'll be okay. They weren't there for you. They were there for me.
Yeah.
Right? They're not coming after you. Not sound advice, because all the time, people go after the people you care about in order to get to you, but whatever. Then a really great scene between Maya and her uncle. Really great scene where Maya's sitting there on the couch in her uncle's office and she says, "What the hell just happened?" And her uncle signs to her and goes, "What part? The part where we were kidnapped by the guy who cleans my skates? Or the part where we almost die?"
Everything just went wrong.
Yeah. That was a great
things are exploding around us and you want to know what's wrong?
Yeah. But then the big question is, because they're kidnapped and they're sitting there and they're on the rink and they're on their knees and they're bound and they're gagged and they're whatever, and they're about to be executed. Yeah. And a phone call comes through. And that phone call seemingly calls off this execution.
They walk away.
And so this is what Maya's asking her uncle about. Like, what the hell just happened? And her uncle says to her, there's only one person who could have made that call.
Yeah. Only one person could have stopped it.
And Maya's like, well, that's impossible. I shot him in the eye.
Shot him in the head. Yeah.
And I agree. He was shot in the head.
Hand magic, man.
It's not possible. But anyways, her uncle's saying, like, that's it. It's the only person who could have done this. And you just need to lay the hell low and you know, give this a rest. And Maya finally goes, because remember in the last episode, her grandfather built her a bicycle suspension spring leg and said that it's just a temporary one until he can put something new together. Yeah. And he makes her one. And listen, I'm not, the one that he makes her is pretty cool looking, right? It's pretty cool looking. And it's got like some of her native heritage, whatever, on it.
Yeah,
she kind of comments that she was maybe looking for something a little less fancy you know, a little more discreet. And he's basically like, no, be proud of your heritage. You are, you know, own this.
Yeah.
There's some symbolism on it. There's some like insignia type stuff.
I thought it was a mask at first.
I don't know enough about Echo from the comics to know, like, I'm sure maybe there's an Echo fan who saw this scene and went, oh, holy shit. Right. No. Like, this is the, no.
Okay. So Echo in the comics is deaf.
Okay.
And she is Native American.
She's not missing a leg.
She's not, she's fully intact. Yeah. So that's something that is just added to the film, show.
As much as any of us are.
Whatever reason.
As much as any of us are.
You know what I mean, though.
Like, right? You had a vasectomy, right?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, so pretty soon you won't be fully intact.
But the fact that she's missing a leg.
That's good. I'm glad I didn't miss that. I'm glad.
For whatever reason, they've added it to this character. Why? I don't know. Many will probably point to diversity.
Right.
I don't, is it intrinsic to the character? Apparently now it is.
Yeah. I mean, it makes her more interesting.
Yeah, it does a little bit. It also kind of makes you wonder. I mean, missing a leg below the knee is not the worst thing to lose. Like, you can still be have a pretty normal life that way.
Yes.
But it does kind of make it a little bit harder to believe that she can keep up with the likes of Daredevil with a missing foot.
Yeah. That's just what makes her that much more badass.
It makes her a little more special. Yeah. I wasn't going to bring this up till later, but since we're on the kind of topic of comic Echo versus Echo Show Echo, Benny, the guy from Comic Storian, does a great thing about talking about why change her powers, because her powers are also different.
Are they?
In the comics, she's got the same powers as Taskmaster.
Okay.
She watches somebody do something and she can do it.
Right. Hence the name Echo.
I forget what they call that in the comics, but.
But hence the name Echo.
Yeah, exactly. That's why she's called Echo, right? And in this show, apparently she gets her powers from some kind of echoes from her past and heritage.
Right.
And it's a great episode. You should, now that you've kind of know where to find it, find his stuff on YouTube.
Yeah. I subscribe to him.
You should look it up, because he dives into like, why change her powers?
Right.
What's the point of it? Right. And it's a really kind of, it's just this circular rabbit hole. Like, he kind of posed the question to the internet and kind of gotten this online debate. And it always came back to like, yeah, but why? What's the purpose?
Right.
What does it do? Why? Like, the story could have just as easily been, she has the power to copy people because of her heritage.
Right.
Why change it?
Yeah.
Right. So it's yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
But neither here nor there for the show. It's just an interesting kind of conversation outside of the show.
It is a cool looking leg though.
Yeah. It's pretty fancy. He's quite the artisan.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. It's weird that the gold emblematic piece attaches and detaches though. I thought, like, wouldn't it make more sense for it just to be like one solid
piece? I don't know how prosthetics work.
It's more like, is this being detachable going to be usable as some kind of weapon or defensive item?
Right.
Is that the intention?
And then the real big moment.
She comes back home
and, well, back to the place that she's staying.
Yeah.
Well, and
kind of her home.
Wilson Fisk.
Yeah.
Dead big, man walking.
Big Daddy Fisk is waiting.
A ghost in the flesh is standing there.
Big, big white eye patch.
And he goes, Maya, I know you shot me in the face.
I don't think he hand signs it.
Horrible Vincent D'Onofrio. No, he's got this cool tech. It's like a hologram that he like talks, and then the hologram, yeah. And then the hologram does.
You went too far.
I went too far. But I don't know. Maybe not. He's, no, maybe not. Yeah, that's it. But yeah, he just kind of shows up, and it's this like, oh shit, he's alive kind of moment. Right? Which I'm still calling BS on. Still total BS.
Yeah. The more I watch this show, the more I'm thinking they should have just done a Fisk show.
Or something. I don't else. Know, though. Is I that interesting, though? Because we've
it's
seen...
It's more interesting than Echo.
Like, is it, though?
You're taking...
Like, who would Fisk... Who's the antagonist of the Fisk show?
Why Echo, though? But
who's the antagonist of the Fisk show?
Everybody.
But what do you mean? Like, who's he? What is the conflict?
The entire criminal underworld. He's trying to regain control of it.
Yeah, I don't know, though.
But, like, it's more interesting than a comic book character from the pages of the comics that nobody cares about.
Like the Guardians of the Galaxy. Like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy
or Shang-Chi
have more of a following and more content pre their cinematic debut.
Okay, like Shang-Chi.
Than even Shang-Chi, than Echo. Echo is like a C-list villain. Echo's like Kite Man.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Nobody like she's a beat you up in the first couple pages so we can get on with the story character.
Done right.
And then not only that, she's a side-ish villain in a Hawkeye show. And now we're going to choose her to be a primary lead why?
But done right, it doesn't matter who you bring in. I.e., Polka Dot Man in James Gunn's Suicide Squad movie.
I'll give you that.
Or Ratcatcher.
But this is far from that. They're not leading, though. They're not the main. They have a side. They're a side character with a side, interesting side story.
Yeah.
They're nowhere near the lead of that cast. They're not even the lead of that group.
Yeah.
There are other more he's way more interesting than on the pages of the comics for Polka Dot Man. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But like King Shark is just as interesting as he is.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So the episode three, so
my big thing is like, why are we making this Echo show?
I don't know.
Why does it even matter?
I mean, the first two episodes I've really enjoyed. There were some great standout moments in this episode, but I have to ask you, episode three of Echo, win or fail?
Edgelord fail.
Edgelord fail. You're 3 for 3 on the fails. 0 for 3 on win.
It had some fun moments. The opening, the way they kind of did the opening sequence with the brown and black and silent picture, that was cool and fun. The fight scene was passable, but just I'm still sitting here going, why do I care? What does this do? Like, how does this impacting the broader MCU? And why do I care about Echo again?
Right. Yeah.
Like, at no point has this convinced me why I should care, give a damn about Echo.
I mean, interesting character.
Is she, though? Yeah.
Well, I think she is. But again, it's subjective, right? So.
Yeah. Like, Kamala Khan is an interesting character. Echo?
Yeah. I mean, but they've made changes to make her more interesting. But I don't know what the initial motivation was. Like, why find a character?
Echo?
Yeah.
You mean? Yeah.
Yeah. So they've made changes to her character to make her more interesting. Missing the leg, you know, right. So on and so forth. But why not? I get what you're saying. Why not find someone who is more interesting just inherently?
Or even sticking with Echo. Why are those changes more interesting than the original character?
Well, because someone missing
why
someone who can fight with a prosthetic leg is more interesting than someone who can fight who's fully enabled.
I don't think so.
You don't find that more interesting?
No.
Oh, well, okay. Well,
I don't see why that's more interesting.
Because they have a disability and they're going toe-to-toe with Daredevil.
I don't care.
I think you're just like...
That's not an interesting feature of a character.
Right.
Like,
all right. All right. That's fine.
If she's...
All right. I'll so tell you think it's a
you
fail.
Know what? Okay. You know what, like, missing legs being an interesting feature for a character? The first Kingsman movie. What's his name's bodyguard?
Yeah.
That is interesting for a disabled individual.
Why? Because she's missing both?
Because she's missing both. Well, even if she's just missing one, it's like the... in terms of like an ability, she doesn't have powers or abilities.
No,
but like her character, like that is contingent on who she, like she fights with them. It's a huge part of like who she is and her character and the way in which she fights and uses them. Right. Echo. It's a convenient plot point.
Well, she kicks people with it.
It's a convenient plot point.
Right.
That's all it is.
So you're upset that she doesn't have knives on her prosthetic leg.
I'm upset that they don't use it to make more interesting storyline.
Okay.
Instead, they use it for, if we hang her upside down, she can use her prosthetic to escape because the captors are stupid and don't know how prosthetics work.
Or maybe don't know that she has one.
Give me a break.
I don't know.
You're tying a rope around her ankles before hoisting her in the air. You don't notice a prosthetic on her leg.
We've established how stupid these guys are.
That's pretty freaking stupid.
But it could be.
Like, it's, yeah.
Okay.
It's not interesting to me.
All right.
What did you think?
This is the first episode that I'm going to say was a fail. But I would say it's on, you know, like, it's hugging the line of could have been a win. Right. I think there's some great moments in it. There's still some really fun moments that, you know, what the hell just happened? What part? The part where we got kidnapped by the guy that cleans my skates? Right. Like, there's some good moments. There's some fun moments. But I overall, it's just not. Yeah. It's weird because like
the characters around Echo are more interesting than Echo.
Well, what's interesting about this episode is that like this is the episode where Maya is both reunited with Kingpin. She's reunited with Bonnie. We get the backstory on her grandparents not being together. Maya gets her new prosthetic leg. And at the same time, nothing happened in this episode. There was nothing happened in this episode. It was just like a fight. It was just an escape was the whole episode. So it's weird because so much happened in this episode, but at the same time, it feels like not very much happened in this episode.
Yeah. They get captured. they have a fight. They're back to square one.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm excited for episode four. I'm still on the train.
You're still hopeful.
Well, I'm 2 out of 3 so far, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm still batting a positive average here.
The Disney Plus TV trend that you usually are scared
out
of.
Great. Where it starts out great and then it turns to shit.
Is it diminishing that hope at all?
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
You don't
sure,
feel like right? the downward trend's starting already?
Yeah, I mean, for sure I do. But, you know, I'm hopeful that it will... I'm hopeful that it will pull out of it. So, I don't know.
Well, I guess I will continue to trudge along and be bored out of my gourd.
Yeah.
And you can... We'll see if you are redeemed.
Well, I appreciate for your gourd. I'm appreciative of your gourd. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you check out our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all listed down below. We have a Patreon page where as little as $1 a month, you can support the show, help put our new studio together. Right?
We need some foam on the walls.
We need a bar fridge. We don't have a bar fridge.
Bar fridge for our guests.
Bar fridge with the liquid death water.
Maybe if we can add a new Patreon tier where you can get a tour of the studio.
Sure. No. No.
About $1 million Patreon one time. No.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, I've come around to the idea.
It took some convincing, but I made it happen, people.
And we have a merch page.
Hey, look, Brady just moved, and he's got a lot of cool stuff in here.
I got a lot of shit. I can sell it to you.
It's in boxes.
Yeah. It's ready to go, ready to be shipped.
I could easily sneak something out of here, and he'd never be the wiser.
I have my King George pop figure from Hamilton.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a sword and a crossbow.
Yeah.
And, I'm sure, he's got posters and things.
A Darth Vader helmet.
Just, PM me, and... Give us some money and I'll swing something your way.
Yeah. Make it good money though. It's gotta be good money. And then you have to give me a cut.